Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inner Wisdom Radio. Thank you for joining me tonight. I'm Mary Phelan, the host, and tonight we are going to be talking about dreams and dream interpretation. So I won't be doing readings until later on in the show, and also be doing dream interpretations. If that is interesting to you, or if you have a dream, you may want to be thinking about that so you can call in later. First, I'd like to talk about dreaming in general and the importance of sleep. If we don't get enough sleep, we can actually die sooner than if we stop eating. Sleep is a time where there are all kinds of mechanisms that take place. We detox not only our physical body, but our mind and our spirit and our emotional body as well. As a matter of fact, I've heard for years, and you probably have too, that if you eat a lot before you go to bed, you can have nightmares. Well, there's some truth in that. If you eat too close to going to bed, what happens when you are asleep is, since your body's detoxing, it's important to have your digestive system at a place of rest, whereas if you've just eaten, then a lot of the detoxing doesn't happen. So I know people that do shift work can have a hard time with that. So it's important to not eat a whole lot before you go to bed, but not to be hungry either if you want to have a good night's sleep. Another thing to get a good night's sleep that's an important thing is a lot of times people keep the light on right up until they go to sleep, and then they wonder why they can't get to sleep. Well, in nature, there's a gradual darkening, and that triggers a lot of mechanisms and triggers our serotonin to be converted to melatonin and a whole bunch of other different things. And so if you are having trouble sleeping, you may wish to gradually decrease the light level all the way up to the point where you go to sleep. And that's a really good technique to use. But one of the things about dreaming is we think of it, we're probably one of the few cultures that thinks of dreaming as being something that is separate from us, or something that's a fantasy, or, oh, you're a dreamer, that's a pipe dream, you're just making that up, and things like that. But dreams are really important. So the step number one in really becoming a powerful dreamer is to incorporate your dreams into your life as if they are real, because they are. Instead of saying, I dreamed of Grandpa last night, many cultures say, Grandpa visited me last night. So if you start talking about your dreams as if you really did do these things, because indeed you have, they will become more and more vivid to you, and you'll be able to interpret them a lot easier as well. Well, one of the things that really shatters us from our dream time is the alarm clock. You hear people say, fall asleep and wake up. I really think it's the other way around. We ascend asleep and we fall awake. I remember as a child sometimes feeling like I was falling as I was drifting off to sleep, and it would wake me up. And I'm sure that's happened with a lot of you out there too. And I really do feel that we do fall awake, because when we go to sleep, we rise up, we ascend up out of our body. And so it's important to know that. And when you have an alarm clock, what happens is you get shattered out of the dream time and you fall awake very, very startlingly. And if you've ever had silly putty, you know how when you stretch it very slowly, it strings, and when you snap it very abruptly, it breaks. Well, that's like our dream time. If we give ourselves enough time to slowly wake up, that stretching of that silly putty or that awakening process helps us to pull our dreams over into our 3D reality. And then we can take that symbolism and, let's say, translate it into our current thought processes and gain some benefit from it. But if we set our alarm clock for the very minute we have to get out of bed, what happens is that silly putty snaps instead of stretches, and most of the time we lose the thread of our dreams. So if you can set your alarm clock 15 minutes before you're supposed to get up, you can then awaken gradually and allow those dreams to come forward. It's important to do that at night as well. As a matter of fact, when you go to sleep, I call our waking self and our sleeping self are really the same being. It's not like there are two parts of us. It's all the same thing, because our dreaming self is with us when we're awake, and our waking self is with us when we sleep. And we call our dreaming self our psychic self while we're awake, and we call our waking self our lucid dreamer when we're asleep. But if you look at those as being two parts of us that are really facets that are with us all the time, you can begin to really get connected and start a dialogue with this aspect and become very psychic when you're awake and become a very powerful dreamer when you're in the dream time. So if you allow yourself to fall asleep and give yourself a bit of a meditation time in that gradual darkening of the room where you're relaxing, you're not watching television or thinking about your day, but being very, very serene as you go to sleep, that is like the crossbar, if you think of a letter H, with our dream self, wake self, and that meditation is really what links the two and enables them to communicate so that you can consciously remember it. And I started to talk about last week that we are the only species that denies ourselves sleep. I mentioned that you don't see cats running around with cappuccinos or espressos and cigarettes and stressing out over, I got to get that mouse. They just sleep when they're sleepy and they wake up. As a matter of fact, most all other species sleep a much, much larger percentage of the time than humans do. And I feel that we naturally sleep a lot more than we do in nature, in our natural state, and that this lack of sleep really does take its toll. And so our dreams are farther away from us. There are these fuzzy things that we may remember little pieces of, but if we could really focus and pay attention to what our dreams are telling us, they are filled with so many things. I have always been a dreamer, and I've taught dreams, many, many different levels of dream interpretation and dream symbolism for a lot of years now. And I have never yet heard a dream that we cannot get some information from, that we can't get something very valuable from. So don't discount any of your dreams. I know I've heard a lot of people say, well, there are those detoxing dreams that are just the ramblings of the mind or the processing of that day. But even in those dreams, you are communicating with you very valuable information. It may be using the stressors that happened to you that day as its symbolism, but it's still communicating something to you. So never discount a dream thinking that it's a useless dream. And so what are dreams? Well, dreams are the dialogue between the conscious and the subconscious. They're also the dialogue between you and your higher self, between you and your spirit guides, people in spirit, you and past yous and other lifetimes. There are so many different things that dreams are, you can't really even list them out. You probably even know that there are places that you dream. One thing that I know about myself, there are certain locations. For instance, when I dream of the beach or the ocean, it's a very spiritual level dream to me. It talks about consciousness and the larger reality. And some other people, when they dream of the beach, it may mean something else to them. But there are certain locations that you dream in, or certain types, themes that when you go and analyze your dreams, you start seeing these recurring places that you go to. Now, Freud was a very, very important person in the dream interpretation, dream awareness in our Western world. But one thing about Freud is he was really brilliant. He coined the term the subconscious mind and the unconscious mind. And he felt that we have these drives, these hidden feelings that we're not allowed to speak in our everyday life. And so they have to go somewhere. So he felt we built this subconscious location, like a basement in our awareness, and said, okay, all these feelings of sexual desire, I'm going to put down in that basement because I can't let them come out in my everyday life. And so that dream time was a place where these could process and let you know these repressed desires and feelings so that you could act on it or make changes in your life. And so a lot of the dream interpretation books that you get are going to have a lot of Freudian connections, the dream dictionaries especially, where a lot of it is repressed angers or seem to be very negative connotations. When you go and look to get a dream dictionary for yourself, one of the things I do is look for symbolism that I have that I know what that means to me and read those in the book. And if they don't resonate with me, then I don't get that book. I find one that does. But ultimately, your symbolism is going to be your symbolism. It's going to be yours. It's not anybody else's. And every dream dictionary is going to be a product of somebody else's association with certain words. And one example I like to use is if you dream of a banana peel, and that's something funny from cartoons, then that's going to be a very different message than if somebody had slipped on a banana peel in their past and hurt their elbow. Then that's going to be a completely different symbol and a different message when they dream of that. So it's very important to understand your own personal symbolism. Now, when Carl Jung came, he started saying, well, we have this mass unconscious mind. So there are archetypes that live in this unconsciousness. And the way I like to view archetypes is that they are patterns of energy rather than personalities. For instance, every time someone has a baby, they align with the archetype of a mother, and that is an energy flow. And all of a sudden, they know how to take care of their baby. They know to love it, to nurture it, those that align with that. And that there are archetypes or energy patterns of just about anything. Like right now, if you chose to be a musician or a painter or anything that you can think of, you can align with that archetype. And I have been doing a lot of research into that over the course of my life, and it definitely works. Sometimes we call it channeling, but essentially you're aligning with an energy pattern of a deity or a skill or an art. So getting into that subconscious mind and realizing that it's connected to this larger mind, you can then use your dreams to consciously go in there and get at that information. And in future shows, I will go into a much deeper level of how you can use your dream time to create and do all kinds of different things. But first, it's really important to know how to set up a good dreaming environment. People will fall asleep on the couch with the TV going. There are all kinds of different scenarios that people sleep under that are usually pretty stressful. There might be lots of noise going on outside the window, the neighbors, or whatever it may be. But think of your bedroom as your sacred space. I like to look at it as a spaceship, this location that I go to launch myself into these other realities. As a matter of fact, I teach a divination tools section. And when I'm teaching dreams, I do this with the class, but I realized that there was a portal somewhere in my room that got built up over time of me leaving my body every night. And so I used the pendulum to find out where that was in my room. And through over years of research, I realized that there are all kinds of energetic lines in people's bedrooms that can affect the quality of their sleep or their ability to stay asleep. And I've taught this technique with the pendulum probably to thousands of people over the years. And many times people were not able to sleep or had very difficult sleeping or their ability to remember dreams. And I was able to find a way for them to place their bed that will help significantly. So if there's anybody out there that has difficulty sleeping or remembering your dreams, you may want to change your room around a little bit. One thing that I do when I first move into a new place is stand in the center of the room and keep my feet in the center and lay down. And then I move around in a circle, in effect moving my head 360 degrees until I find my power spot, until I find the place where I feel energy flowing from my head to my feet. And then that's where I put the bed. And if you can't put the bed there, you can always use a crystal grid under the bed. And how you can do that is lay the crystal grid in the corners of where you want the bed to be. And it's pointing, the crystal points are pointing in an X. And then you put your bed in the whatever direction that you have to put it in. Like, let's say where it was most comfortable is where the door to the room is, and that's not practical for you to put your head there. You can put the crystal grid as if your bed is there and then place your bed over top of it where it makes sense to put it. And what that does is that crystal grid will pull the energy of the room into that pattern, and you will then be able to sleep better. I had heard of a case one time that there, well, first of all, before I get to that, there are energy lines all over the planet. There are lines that go east and west and north and south. One is every 8 feet, give or take, and the other direction is 6 feet. And there are all kinds of other energy lines, which we will probably talk about in further detail in a future show. But where these lines intersect, it creates a different energy. They can be positive, negative, negative, positive, 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 or negative, negative. And each of those intersections are going to be more useful for different types of things. So some of them may not be useful for sleeping, may be more useful for creating. And it's important to know what kind of energy lines you have going through your room. Another factor that can have an impact is underground. There are waterfalls and rivers and all kinds of different energetic effects going on underground. So sometimes that can affect you as well. And I feel that the feng shui as we know it today most likely began as really looking at the individual house and seeing what influences are there rather than the formula that's placed over top of the footprint of your house. So it's an important thing that you can use the pendulum for. One case I had heard of a couple that was having a lot of issues. There's something called a black line, which is very, very rare. So don't anybody get concerned that you're going to have one of these, because they are extremely rare. But there's something that can happen on one floor of the building, but not on other floors. And it's not that it's an evil line or a bad line. It's just a line that, or energetic pattern, that's probably more conducive to removing energy rather than enabling it. And so sometimes people can find that they get sick along this line, and that moving their bed, they can then become well. There was this one couple, and this is a very extreme case, but they slept in a double bed, and one of them got a certain type, like a stomach cancer, and the other one got a cancer that was a little lower down on their body. And long story short, when one of them got it first and then when the other one got it, they changed sides of the bed so that the other one could be closer to the bathroom, and they each developed the other kind of cancer. So they had a dowser come in, and they found the line and moved their bed, and then they went through their treatments, and it never came back again. So I'm not saying to be paranoid about any of that, but it is a good idea. If you're not feeling well, go ahead and move your room around. If nothing else, it changes the energy for you. Well, another thing to keep in mind in your dreaming environment is, what do you have under your bed? That's interesting to note, because one time we had a man that came to a dream class, and he said he had nightmares all the time, and they were very violent, and he's not a violent type of person. He doesn't watch violent movies or anything, and he couldn't understand, but they were really robbing him of a lot of good night's sleep. So when we got to this section in the class, I asked him what was under the bed, and he said an antique sword. Well, guess what? The energy from the sword was coming up and influencing him in his dreams. He removed the sword out from under his bed, and everything got a lot better. I've also seen cases where people have old things from marriages in the past or old letters from people that they're no longer speaking to, various things like that, and it affects your dream time. As a matter of fact, Edgar Cayce proved this to us. He used to sleep with books, and then he would be able to know the content of the books. And my sister and I, when we were very young, we used to do that too. We hadn't heard of Edgar Cayce back then, but we knew it worked. As a matter of fact, my sister had four kids, and she was going to nursing school. So you can imagine that that's pretty tough, going to nursing school anyway, but to have four kids at the same time. She put a book, she was studying pharmacology. She slept with the book and was able to get an A on the test. And pharmacology is not something that your subconscious mind could have gotten somewhere else, because these are all Latin words and things like that. And I have done similar things my whole life. So when I started evaluating my dream environment, I saw that I had all these half-read books laying around. And I thought, well, if this is going to be my launching pad or my spacecraft into other realities, then I better clean this up. I better fix this up. But then I realized that I had all these half-read books and I wasn't completing them, because I was already doing that in my sleep. So it's an interesting thing to put the things that are the most important around you as you sleep, as if it really is a spaceship before you go to sleep. Okay, and I'll just remind people, if you are holding to talk, I'll probably be taking calls in about 10 after 11 and doing dream interpretations, and then If people after that would like a reading or something, I'd be happy to do that. So I'd love you to keep holding on if you're holding. All right. So we're talking about the dream environment. I think that's a really good thing to do. Now, and we talked about the energy lines that go through your bedroom and various things like that. It might be an interesting thing just to reevaluate your bedroom, and maybe even sleep at the foot of your bed tonight and see if the quality of your dreams or your dream recall is any different. I do hear a lot of people say that they can't remember their dreams, or that they feel that they don't dream. Well, obviously we all do dream, so people are dreamers and we do dream. It's all in the recall. And like I was saying earlier, if we give ourselves that peaceful meditative time to pull this information over, then everybody will be a great dream recaller. But there are a lot of different things you can do to assist with this, and I still say the number one best way to remember your dreams is to is to write down on a piece of paper that I remember my dreams tonight. Just say, I remember my dreams. And that will help you to remember your dreams. It really does. Because as we will find out in future shows when we get into dream alchemy, that we take things into the dreams just as much as we pull things out of the dreams. We bring our dreams forward and we interpret them, but we also take things into our dreams. So every dream you have is an answer to something that you've taken into your dream time. Some things that can help you biologically to remember your dreams is vitamin B, vitamin B complex, vitamin B3 in particular. It also helps you to have greater visualizations. Vitamin B3 is also called niacin, and they have a no-flush niacin variety. Vitamin B3 has a lot of other interesting, powerful effects as well. A lot of research, the late Abraham Hoffer, who was an orthomolecular psychiatrist, who treated a lot of severe psychiatric conditions with vitamin therapy. He used vitamin B3 a lot. And I found this an interesting connection. Nicotine is niacin's evil twin, so to speak, and that one of the things that can help you to stop smoking is to give your body real niacin instead of the body settling for nicotine. And smoking depletes it anyway, so it's a vicious cycle. But he found that a lot of people with schizophrenia, bipolar, and some other psychiatric conditions all smoked. And he was curious as to why so many of them smoked, and then found that they have deficiency, let's say, of vitamin B3, of niacin. So he started doing a replacement therapy and found that some of them spontaneously got better, even ones that had been almost comatose for up to 25 years. So it's an important thing for that. But it's also good to help you to dream and to remember your dreams. But I will give you this caveat. When I started taking B vitamins, and I wasn't doing this to dream, I was just doing it because I needed B vitamins, I realized that I had insomnia, and there was like a 6-month period where I could not sleep, and I really thought I was going to go over the edge because I had to get some sleep. And then something told me, I wonder if it's the B vitamins, and I was taking them in the evening, and they were keeping me up all night. B vitamins energize you, and they'll keep you awake. So if you do take B vitamins, and everybody has to use their own judgment and seek your own medical advice because I'm not a doctor, but take them earlier in the day so that you'll be able to sleep, and that may save you a lot of save you a lot of insomnia. So that's a good one. Bananas, because they have the potassium, and caffeine in a very, very small quantity. That's why people that would drink warm milk, because warm milk is good because of the calcium. A lot of the minerals will help you a lot. As a matter of fact, when you get that agitated leg, what is that, restless leg syndrome, and you can't sleep, you're tossing and turning, a lot of the time that is a mineral deficiency, and minerals are essential. As a matter of fact, when people have heart attacks, what they do is give them minerals because it's an electrolyte imbalance, because we are electromagnetic machine, really. So it's important to do that for your health anyway. So sometimes if you take hot cocoa before you go to bed, there's just enough caffeine that will help you to have your waking self be conscious enough to do lucid dreaming and to recall your dreams. But if caffeine bothers you, I probably wouldn't recommend doing that. Okay, and another thing is to stay in bed and don't open your eyes until you have reviewed and see what dreams have come across my screen. What has come along in that night's dreaming before you open your eyes? Because the minute you open your eyes, this reality flips a switch on, and your attention starts racing to this reality, and it will be harder and harder to pull that dream forward if you're having trouble. And now this is interesting. One time I was having difficulty, or I caught that wisp, and I think you might know what I'm talking about, when you feel, oh yeah, a dream, and then you lose it. Well, I was like that one morning, and I realized that when I turned over, I lost the thread, so I rolled back over and put my head in the same position on the pillow, and I was able to remember the dream. And it's interesting because when I have done a lot of automatic writing and channeling in my life, I found that it really had a lot of bearing on how I was holding my head as to what information I was picking up. And so maybe our crown chakra is a radar dish after all. So you can try that as well. There are a lot of other techniques that I have used over the years, and maybe I'll just cover a few more and then maybe move on to some dream interpretation. If people have dreams, please do call in. Well, sometimes if you wake up in the middle of the night and you do remember your dream, but you don't want to wake yourself up so much by writing that whole dream down, you can title your dream, which is a really good thing to do. And then when you wake up, the title or even like a sentence synopsis of it will help you to remember. Like you can title it "The Key to the Room," and then wake up. When you wake up, you say "A Key to the Room," and then that can trigger you to write out the whole dream, which is a good thing. Okay, so there are so many different things that you can certainly do in your dreams. I'm going to talk for a minute about dream journals because that is very important. I have done everything that I can think of to write down my dreams. Easy ways like recording, like having a little tape recorder, which is easy because then you can mumble the dream into your tape recorder, turn it off, and go back to sleep. But you still have to transcribe it the next day. And so if you get your subconscious, unconscious mind used to writing down your dream in the morning, then you will remember it. When I first started making myself write my dreams down, I found that I wasn't able to remember any. And I realized it was my subconscious mind attempting to get out of the work of writing my dreams. So what I did is write something in my dream journal every day, even if I did not remember a dream. Maybe I wrote a feeling, a color, anything that I remembered. And even if I just wrote in there, I remember nothing. The habit of writing, the subconscious stopped fighting me on that, and then I was able to remember a lot of dreams. So a dream journal is very important. I recommend getting one that is spiral bound so you can leave it open. Over the years, which I have recorded dreams probably most of my life since I've been able to write. I even have dreams that I have written out from early childhood. I've always been fascinated with dreams, and so I have many, many dream journals, and the easiest ones are the spiral bound, because you can leave them open. I have more recently gotten to the place where I get up in the morning and type them out on the computer because I have so many different dream analysis techniques that I then can cut and paste and move them around for different types of interpretation. Okay, well, it's about 11:03, so if people would like to call in, I'll start taking some calls now. Maybe if you have some questions about dreams or dream journals or have a dream to be interpreted. And I believe I have a call now, so I'm going to go ahead and pick it up. All right, and so it's connecting. Hi, you're on the air. What can I do for you? Hello? Oh. Hi.
Yeah. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. What can I do for you this evening?
Yes, ma'am. I was trying to ask a question about, I guess, in my financial situation.
Okay. You don't mean a dream? I'm having a little hard time hearing you. I'm sorry. Could you repeat what you were saying?
Oh, about a dream? No, it's hard for me to dream. I really don't dream at all too much anymore.
You know, sometimes it's a really good idea to do some of the things maybe that I was speaking of earlier, because the dream life is very powerful.
Okay.
Well, now what would you like? I just didn't hear what you said when you first got online. Do you mind repeating that?
Yeah, it was a question, but it wasn't about dream. I was asking about financial situation.
Okay, so do you mean a reading?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, I'm pulling some cards for your financial situation. Okay. One thing that I'm seeing is, let me see if I can put this into words. Let's just say you're sitting in a room and there are 10 doors, and
uh-huh.
you have a belief that there's only this one door that you can walk out of. And we could also say that these are skills for a job or whatever, that your thinking is there are a lot of opportunities around you, but you're only seeing this one door. And for you to expand your scope and see skills that you have and opportunities that you have that you may not be aware of. The second card is maybe integrating some of these skills and looking at things. I know you were asking about your financial future, and to me these first two cards are talking about you really developing your skills. Have you gone to school recently, or have you thought about learning something new?
No, but I'm willing to go back to school. I'm just trying to, I guess, because I'm like in a spiral financial situation, and I'm just trying to, I guess, get out of this kind of spiral kind of situation or whatever's having me to seem like falling and not being able to get up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that one of these things, or one of the things that this is saying, is to just look in the mirror and say, I claim my power, because I get a sense that, and I'm not faulting you, because we all get in that space, but it's like, it seems that life is bigger than you, when in actuality you are bigger than your life, and you have more power than you think. I also drew the coyote card for you. And the coyote in my deck, the spirit animal cards, I call him the code cracker, because things happen in our life and we think, oh, this financial spiral, this thing that looks to be a negative, what is it really telling me? What is the gift of this? What is it taking me to that I never would have gone to without it? And once you realize that, then the issues of the financial hardship can go away. I do feel like things in the spring are going to really pick up for you. The best way to make that happen quicker and more in your control is to say, I claim my power. I'm not going to wait for conditions to change. I'm going to make them change. And if you look in the mirror and just say that, I claim my power, you're going to find a huge shift for yourself. But look to the spring, and it feels like some female is going to be helping you out. Do you have sisters?
Yeah, I have family staying with me now. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's something to do with females, sisters, that maybe even if you try working together, it's going to help everybody lift out, like maybe doing a project together or something to do with that. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. If anybody wants to call in with a dream interpretation or for reading, either one, that's fine. Okay, so we were talking about dream journals. I think that's very powerful. Also, on your dream journal, when you go to to make your dream journal or to begin it, write down some day notes, some things that have happened to you during the day, because when you go to sleep and you dream, it's important to know where in time this happened, because a lot of our dreams are precognitive and they're telling us things about our future, about our life. And so if you write just a few lines that, oh, went to work today, got a raise, did that, when you go back to do your deep analysis, and I do that when I filled a book, I go back and do a deep analysis of everything, then you can see, hey, did I dream of this new boat before I got the boat? Was it after I got the boat? Was it after I started thinking about the boat? And it'll give you some clues as to how you dream precognitively. And make sure you title your dream. It's interesting how this whole theme of the dream comes into play once someone titles it. That's a very good thing. About dreams, they're broken down into certain structures. Now, there are change points within a dream. If we think of a dream where we are at the store and then all of a sudden we're at the movies and we didn't locomote to get there, we just appeared at the next place, that was a decision point. That was a decision point. And instead of moving away or walking away, we just showed up at the new location. I remember when I was practicing lucid dreaming probably about 30 years ago, I was in a dream and my guide was standing next to me and there was a red pickup truck off in the distance and I wanted to walk over there, but I couldn't get my legs to move. It was like those dreams where you have weights around your legs. And so I said to the guide, how can I get there? He said, you are trying to walk with your legs, and you don't have legs like that in this reality. You have to think yourself over there. So I tried and tried to think myself over there, and I couldn't quite get it. I thought about me walking. I did everything I could think of, and still nothing. I wouldn't budge. And he kept telling me, try. No, you have to think yourself there. You just have to be there. Don't. In this reality, you don't go from one place to another. You don't walk. You just are there. Like if I was to walk outside right now, I get the idea to walk outside, then my body is the external software or the external technology that takes me outside. But in the dream time, you think of going somewhere, and that and the action is all one thing. As a matter of fact, the Aborigines believe that the dream time, and it kind of reminds me of the Tao, but the dream time and the wake time, it's all one thing. Like if you think of picking up the cup and you pick up the cup, it's all one thing. They're not separate. It's only the Western world, us, or maybe a bigger part of the world, that thinks that the thought and the action are two different things. As a matter of fact, that's probably most of what the population in the United States angst is all about, is I have to visualize and then I have to create. And just by thinking that, you're separating these two things, the thought from the action, that if the thought's there, the manifestation and all futures of that thought are already included in that thought. So in the dream, it's very much like that. You think of getting over to that red truck, you think it, and then you let go of it. You don't think it and say, now I've got to make it happen. That just causes everything to grind to a halt. So in the dream, I thought it, and then I found myself over there, and it worked, and it was so powerful, and it taught me a lot about how to create in physical reality as well. So change points, in essence, are decision points. So in your dream, when you have a change point, you think of the next thing, and you can interpret the decision by where you go. So let's say you're standing at the movies outside of a movie theater, and then next thing you know, you're at the laundromat. Well, there was a decision for you to go from where you were to a laundromat. So when you interpret that, you can say, I was at the movies and something made me think of cleansing. So maybe the movie is something that I, like, whatever the movie you were watching is something you wanted to cleanse from your system because you were all of a sudden at the laundromat. So it is a very good tool to use just to separate your dream change points. It's also important for an analysis to begin with is to look at these change points and say, what are these decisions? And then interpret everything that happens within those change points as well as being information about the decision. Okay, well, if people would like to call in for a reading, you are welcome to do so. And let me look at the chat room. Is anybody in the chat room? Anything going on? Kevin, I see you're there. And let's see. Nope, don't really see anything else going on. Okay, well, if anybody's out there in the world would like to join in on the topic of dream interpretation, maybe call in with a dream. That would be great. We have talked a lot about your dreaming environment and setting it up with things that you like in there. Well, something else that I think is interesting about dream interpretation, dream interpretation has always been, since the history of recorded man, as something very valuable for understanding what's going on a higher level, more of a mystical level. As a matter of fact, Muslims would use the Quran for dream interpretation. For instance, we knew a lady one time who's Muslim, and she had a spider web on her trunk, or she dreamed of a spider web on her trunk. And to her, the spider web in the Quran is a story of Muhammad. When he was being pursued, he hid in a cave, and God wove a spider web over the cave so that when his pursuers came by, they saw the spider web and felt, oh, he can't be in there because there is a spider web, and that would have been knocked down. So when she dreamed of the spider web on her trunk, and she was going to be traveling, by the way, she saw that dream telling her that she was protected as she went along on her dream. So you can use the Bible or the Quran or any kind of a text to find similar analogies, things like that. So, well, I guess it's getting kind of close to the end of the show, and if I don't have any callers, I may go ahead and wind up early. So if you'd like to have a reading, the call-in number should be up on your screen there. We'd love to hear from you. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for joining me tonight. I think I'll go ahead and sign off a bit early and wish everybody a really wonderful dreaming experience tonight. So it was my joy and honor to be with you, and I am on the air at 10:30 on Tuesday nights. I'm going to be having some real interesting guests upcoming and lots of fascinating topics. I have three decks of cards. My fourth deck is soon to be published. And you can go to my website, telepathictv.com, and do some readings with the cards there. And there's a psychic development game. I also have a podcast called Meditation Break with some guided meditations and a bunch of episodes of Telepathic TV on there as well. So anyway, it was my joy and honor, and hope to hear from everybody next week. Thanks.